The way led down a dark, half-wooded heath, where moss-gray boulders humped above the mold, and curious drops, disquieting and cold, sprayed up from unseen streams in gulfs beneath. There was no wind, nor any trace of sound in puzzling shrub or alien-featured tree, nor any view before, till suddenly, straight in my path, I saw a monstrous mound. Half to the sky those steep sides loomed upspread, rank grassed and cluttered by a crumbling flight of lava stairs that scaled the fear-topped height in steps too vast for any human tread. I shrieked and knew what primal star and year had sucked me back from man's dream-transient sphere. I saw it from that hidden, silent place where the old wood half shuts the meadow in. It shone through all the sunset's glories, thin at first, but with a slowly brightening face. Night came, and that lone beacon, amber-hued, beat on my sight, as never it did of old. The evening star, but grown a thousandfold more haunting in this hush and solitude. It traced strange pictures on the quivering air, half-memories that had always filled my eyes, vast towers and gardens, curious seas and skies of some dim life, I never could tell where. But now I knew that through the cosmic dome, those rays were calling from my far lost home. There is, in certain ancient things, a trace of some dim essence, more than form or weight, a tenuous ether, indeterminate, yet linked with all the laws of time and space, a faint, veiled sign of continuities that outward eyes can never quite descry, of locked dimensions harboring years gone by, and out of reach except for hidden keys. It moves me most when slanting sunbeams glow on old farm buildings set against a hill, and paint with life the shapes which linger still from centuries less a dream than this we know. In that strange light I feel I am not far from the fixed mass whose sides the ages are.